Your money, your estate plan, your retirement. Securing Arizona's future one family at a time. This is The Word on Wealth. Intelligent financial talk you can have faith in. With your host, president and co-founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates, John Dombrowski. Send your questions to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. Now, here's John.
And welcome to The Word on Wealth. I'm John Dombrowski, going to be with you here for the next hour, talking some financial talk and financial issues facing all of us. As always, I love it when you've got questions for me, anything financial. Maybe it's retirement planning with IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, Roth IRAs, insurance, real estate, estate planning, or taxes, what's ever on your mind. As always, send those questions to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. That's DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. And as always, when we're talking about these important financial issues, I love to take the fun approach to the serious matter of your money. Good morning. Again, welcome to The Word on Wealth. Thanks for taking some time out of your day, as always, and I enjoy being here to hopefully give you a little bit of entertainment and information that you'll be able to use for your retirement planning. Also, I wanted to talk, I'm going to have a couple of different guests on the show, as we usually do, and hopefully you'll enjoy listening to what they have as far as input and what's happening out there and how they can help you again. I'll get some information that overall can help you. One of the things, too, that I do want to always let you take advantage of is we have an economic update that we will send out to each and every one of you if you would like to receive it. And it's a weekly economic update telling a little bit about what's happened over the past week in the economy and the markets and what is upcoming in the future week. And that can be dropped into your email box each and every Monday, if you'd like, by just going to our website of GrandCanyonPlanning.com. And that's our firm's website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com. And you'll see a little area there where, number one, you can request an appointment online if you'd like to sit down and talk with me or one of our staff here to discuss some of your financial concerns and see if we can help you work through those details. Estate planning and tax planning as well. And then also you can sign up for the weekly economic update. Boy, it's a tongue twister. The weekly economic update. And you can do that right there on the website at GrandCanyonPlanning.com. There's also some other great information on the website as well. Also our podcast, our previous shows that we've had. If you've missed a show or two and you want to go back and listen to something, you certainly can do that as well. So lots of information there on the website. Now, this week, we had a pretty wild ride this week, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that throughout the show. But also, as I mentioned, we'll have a couple of our guests. I've got estate planning attorney Jonathan Muntz and CPA Darren Sigrist. We're going to be talking about some of the new tax law changes here in the state of Arizona. As you may or may not be aware of, we did have a new state income tax increase, which has been approved through the recent elections and the vote that had occurred. So we're going to talk a little bit about that with Darren and then also with Jonathan. We've got an email question that I think is going to be relevant to a lot of you out there. You may think, well, gee, that doesn't pertain to me, but it very well can pertain to everyone out there who's listening when it comes to the documents that you have and how old they are. How long ago was it since you last executed those documents? And are they still going to be accepted by institutions when you need them? And that's the issue, is when you need them. We don't know until that time comes when we go to try to use a document and exercise, you know, maybe some activity on an account for an individual that has given us that authority. So we're going to talk about that with estate planning attorney Jonathan Muntz as well. So make sure you stay with us this whole show. We've got the full hour. Of course, we're going to be speaking with you. One of the other things I like to talk about is our weekly riddle. And Paula in our office, Paula Schuler, she comes up with these weekly riddles each week. And let's talk about last week's riddle. And many of you who listen to this, or if you get our weekly economic update, you get the answer to the riddle far, bef- you know, before you actually hear me talk about it here on Saturday morning, you'll get it on Monday. But it says, last week's riddle, you need me to see, but you should never look at me. You need me to live, but you should never get close to me. What am I? Of course, that I thought was a fairly easy riddle. That was the sun, right? We need it to see, shouldn't look at it. We need it to live, but we shouldn't get close to it, the sun. This week's riddle, why does Norway have barcodes on the sides of their ships? Why does Norway have barcodes on the sides of their ships? So that's this week's riddle. And it says, thanks to Jack J for submitting this week's riddle. So thanks, Jack, out there for doing that. And I know Jack is a person who does take his riddles very seriously. So that's a tough one, Jack. I don't know the answer to that one, but I'm going to think about it. And hopefully I'll get to that and try to figure that one out. All right. Again, I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. As always, thanks for joining us. You know, we had a really interesting week, the first week of November, and then going into the second week of November, boy, just as interesting, right? So the first week of November, we had the election. And of course, we didn't get the results of the election immediately, and we're still in flux on some of the actual maybe election results as we see there's a recount going on in Georgia, I believe it is. And the president, President Trump, is still fighting some legal battles, trying to see what the outcome of those will be. Of course, the current vice president, or the previous vice president, Joe Biden, who has basically said that he's now the president-elect and he is now doing things that you would expect a president-elect to be doing, which is making phone calls to other country leaders and trying to get his transition team in place. Now, of course, President Trump still out there with battling, and there's a lot of lawsuits going on. We're going to find out what's going to happen with those. And there's those out there that say, yes, that's what he should be doing. There's others out there that are saying basically that, you know, he should move on. But, you know, of course, we want every vote to count. There's no question about that. So we'll see how that all turns out. But we've seen a wild ride for the markets, as I mentioned. So that first week of November, boy, we did see a tremendous rally right in tech. Then we saw a tremendous drop earlier this past week. And we saw what we would call a rotation. And that rotation was now all of a sudden the leader in the markets has been technology without question over the past 10 years. And especially more recently, since we have COVID-19 and all of the shutdowns that occurred, we saw a tremendous amount of growth in technology. And technology is what bridged that gap needed in order for those of us out there who had to work from home. We were unable to have the communication with our coworkers and in our businesses in order to transact business. And the only way to do that was to do that remotely. So technology became a big player in allowing businesses to continue. Of course, restaurant businesses and a lot of other small retail businesses may, you know, as we know, suffered from this. But generally speaking, the economy was kept moving because of technology. And we saw technology stocks take a jump that we haven't seen in quite a while. A lot of these companies doubled in value in just a very short period of time, a few months. But we saw a rotation out of technology, out of the NASDAQ, and back more into a broader base through value, through healthcare, through financials, even energy. And we even saw interest rates creeping up this past week. So it was kind of an interesting scenario to see, right? We saw that move away from technology into other areas of the market. And that was earlier in the week on Monday and Tuesday. And then all of a sudden, Wednesday and into Thursday, we then again saw a reversal, and we saw a lot of individuals, a lot of investors out there moving back into technology, probably believing, hey, this technology isn't going anywhere. We still need it. Yes, there's been a vaccine that has basically been said 90% effective from Pfizer, and a few others out there were also touting that their vaccines trials have been very good and things are going well. But we did see the markets really gyrate this week to a very big degree. And it scares a lot of people when we see this type of movement. And I want to encourage people not to be afraid. Again, I always want people to know that they need to be investing based on their own personal risk tolerance and time horizon. You have to have a plan for your investments. Understand what you're invested in and why you're invested in them and what the future can be from the investments that you hold, how it can get you to your retirement. That's ultimately what most people are trying to accomplish. That's what we do for our clients. We're going to talk about that throughout the show. We'll be back after this. Stay with us. I'm John Dombrowski, and this is The Word on Wealth. All right, we're back. John Dombrowski, The Word on Wealth. I figured this would be a good song to wake us all up this morning. And boy, one of our guests right here with us got this before it even started. You just heard that little bit of music and you knew exactly what it was, huh?
Yeah, I grew up during this. I played on a soccer team. We used this as our theme.
Really?
Before we got blown out. We used to warm up to this. We thought we were so cool. We were an all-star team. We thought we were so good, so cool, and we traveled to L.A. to play this other team that literally had played together since they were 2 years old.
And they kicked your butt.
I mean, it was like the level of talent was like, wow, and we thought we were so cool. We warmed up to Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Living on a Prayer. We were so excited, so jazzed up. Look how cool we were. And then we got blown off the field.
Oh, my gosh.
They were faster. They were bigger. Like, we were like, that other team, every player on the other team was like a foot taller. Like, you know, they all had mustaches. We were all like.
And you were in grade school?
I was 16 or 17.
Right.
And like everyone on that team looked like they were 35.
Oh,
and, you know,
my gosh.
It was.
Well, everything's bigger there in California.
It was so crazy.
Like it is in Texas,
and
I guess.
So every time I hear that song, I just laugh because we were so overconfident and we got on the field and they just, I mean, it was 4-0. It's like, boom. It's 4-0. Like 3 minutes, it was 4-0. Like we didn't even know it hit us. And there was that dumb song. So every time I hear it, I'm like, yeah, let's all get excited and get overconfident. But that is better than Bad Medicine.
Yes.
Which is another song I'm glad you didn't play because we don't need any bad medicine.
No, no. We need good medicine now with everything going on in this country. Estate planning attorney Jonathan Munch, thank you so much for being with us this morning, as always. And we're going to get to a couple of great topics today when it comes to estate planning. I've got a couple of emails to get to, if we can, through this segment as well. But again, I want to, of course, thank everyone for joining us. I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. And we're going to be with you here for the full hour. We have ways to get a hold of me if you have questions, anything financial, you want to shoot me a quick email. You can do that to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. And if we've got time, we'll get to those emails throughout the show, DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. You can reach out to us if you'd like to schedule your own financial consultation, whether it's for financial planning, estate planning, retirement planning, tax planning. We can do that by calling us directly at 480-991-1055. That's 480-991-1055, or go to our website and you can request an appointment right there at GrandCanyonPlanning.com. All right, Jonathan, I've got my teacup. I ran out of, you know, I always have those disposable paper cups, and I've got my one of my cups here.
You're using a reusable cup, which is good, environmentally friendly.
Yeah. But they always have a flavor to them when you drink out of these. There's little plasticky taste.
You want to know what the key to all that is here? I know we're supposed to talk about estate planning. Yeah. So any of you that use these, you know, these Hydro Flask, these reusable mugs for coffee or for juice. Yeah. So like the inside is metal and it's insulated, right? Yeah. And it does get that, no matter what you do, sometimes it tastes soapy.
Like
I wash mine, they get soapy. Well, supposedly there's these tablets you can buy on Amazon.
Oh.
So just look on Amazon. And I don't want to shill for Amazon, but Amazon sells these and they're specific. So it's kind of like, you know, the things you use for dentures?
Yeah.
Right? It's like that. And you always see, you put the dentures in, they get clean. Well, they created these little like tabs that you put into a cup to clean the cup that's supposed to clean the inside. And they're effervescent and they clean. So look for those. I would assume you just like search something on Amazon like
stinky
cleaning tablets for reusable mugs or something like that. But I know they sell them.
Well, there's your tip for the day, folks. Thanks for being with us here on The Word of Well. No, okay, Jonathan. So I want to get to, let's get right to a topic here. This is from Robert and Joanne. The question is, Dear John, recently my husband was diagnosed with dementia. And so I reached out to one of the financial institutions we do business with and tried to use his power of attorney, and they would not accept it based on the date that it was executed. They said that needed to be either a newer date on the document or it needed to be certified by the attorney who drafted that document. So, Jonathan, what do you have to say?
Well, first of all, I know the name of this company, and I'm not going to say it, but I wish I would say it. And I'd like to say to their executive board and everyone that works for this company that you guys are awful,
right,
and all of your customers should leave you because it's the most ridiculous policy you've ever heard, because either the power of attorney is valid or it's not valid. Mm-hmm. There's no legality by saying something is old or it's stale.
Right.
If I signed it and it's executed correctly and the document says that it lasts until I either die or I revoke it, it's valid. Do you see what I mean?
Sure.
You're not the decider of whether it's valid or not. If it's properly executed under the laws of the state in which it was executed, and it's valid.
Right.
So I feel like that financial company is out of line. And shame on you, financial company. I want to say their name because it's so annoying to me. Because what it does is it puts all of us in a bad situation because we think we've planned and we think we've done the things we need to do, and then they try to throw this other wrench.
So what should they do?
In this case, we don't want to panic. What we want to do is if we can execute a new one and satisfy the requirements, then we would.
Right.
Now, I'm assuming we can't. But if the option is to have it certified, then maybe the attorney or the person who drafted it can write a letter,
right,
probably for a fee,
sure,
and say that this is validly executed on this date and you need to accept it,
right?
Right, which I could do for someone.
Sure.
So that's kind of the route that I would go.
I've seen this before.
Secondarily, one of the other things you might consider is if you hold large amounts of money, and we're really, because in a situation in which we have money that's not a qualified account, we're going to assume it's already in the trust.
Right. If it's not a retirement type account.
It's in the trust, and then the trustees, no matter how old the trust is, would have control.
Right.
And if they try to make that argument, then I'm going to go down there. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll start picketing this company.
Right.
Right. But they're not, so it's going to be much easier. Now, powers of attorney always make people nervous because of what a power of attorney does, because a power of attorney gives you the ability to walk in someone else's shoes.
Right.
So in reality, the bank's just being, or the financial institution is being extra careful, which I can understand. They're just now being a little ridiculous about it. But in such an instance where there is money that's in a qualified account that you might be worried about because you for required minimum distributions or otherwise,
sure,
right?
You've got to perform certain duties or activities, yes.
It may be that if you get an early indication or diagnosis that something's going on with you, number one, you obviously want to make sure all of your documents are up to date while you're still able to sign.
Mm-hmm.
But it also might be that you contact this institution and see if they have an institution-specific form that you can fill out, designated someone to take over if you can't take over.
And that was something that I was thinking about too, Jonathan. There are certain institutions that have their own forms
where you can assign someone. If I become incapacitated, right, this is my designated agent to make decisions for me about this account.
Correct. So they do have, a lot of them do have those forms. I know we do for our clients that we manage funds for, if that's something that's needed. Oftentimes, though, as we know, Jonathan, you and I deal with a lot of clients and help them with their estate planning side of their financial plan as well. So we have all of those documents already that we can help people with and execute for.
So there are some solutions here, and it's going to take a little bit of perseverance, a little bit of patience. And that's also, while I think this is ridiculous policy on this company's behalf, that's weigh the two things, right?
Because sure,
the company's number one trying to protect themselves because they don't want to get sued.
Right.
So honestly, they're not acting in our best interest. They just literally don't want to get sued. They don't want to dole out money and then get sued because they shouldn't have doled out the money.
Mm-hmm.
But that's good for us because that means your account is really secure there,
right,
because it's hard for someone to get at.
Mm-hmm.
So companies are really struggling weighing the two things, right? Because they don't want to be subject to fraud, because fraud is becoming so much more advanced,
more prevalent,
right?
Too.
And you have to weigh those two things. So in a sense, it's bad, but in a sense, it's also good because it means your account's more protected. But when you have an account at such an institution, you need to be very careful that you've dotted all your I's and crossed all your T's. And so, what I would suggest is that when you do a financial review with John, right, you talk about where your accounts are and you make sure that you've made all of these specific arrangements.
Yeah, and then the other side of this too, Jonathan, is of course, if I have a power of attorney and now all of a sudden the document may not accomplish what I'm looking to do in 3 or 4 or 5 years from the date that I execute it, what do I do? What do I, every 2 years, do I execute a new document?
I mean, in some instances, for a financial power of attorney, you may need to. Or we may need to update it, or we may need to do something else. Maybe we just need to recertify it, so to speak.
Right.
I would probably just re-execute it.
And another question is that in the powers of attorney, there are there is language that basically says either that person who's going to act on my behalf is immediate or could be upon a specific event. Let's talk quickly about that. We've got about another minute left.
So when we talk about being immediate, it means it's immediate until you revoke it, right?
Okay.
It's not affected by your subsequent incapacity.
As soon as you sign it,
right?
It's
when
effective.
When it's subject to your subsequent incapacity, it means it's called springing. So it doesn't come into play until you become incapacitated,
right?
Which can in itself be onerous because you have to have two doctors have to write letters that will satisfy the rules inside the power of attorney that says that now this agent can act. So you want to be real careful with that. Really, what you end up doing is you weigh this. You want to weigh the pros and cons of, do I want to give someone this much control now because I need it, or can I wait till later? So when you're younger and healthy, you probably don't want your agents to act unless you're incapacitated. It's because only for an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
But as you get older and health concerns arise, you may want this person you trust to have an immediate power of attorney over you so they don't have to jump through any hoops in order to act.
And it's not that it's that onerous, but it could be, Jonathan,
right,
especially during a crisis.
Because you might not be able to get it done
right away. Right,
right. Now, the thing about being an agent under someone's power of attorney is that you owe that principle a fiduciary responsibility.
Right.
You are not acting in your best interest. You're acting in that person's, so what we call the principal, in the principal's best interest.
Right.
Your interest is secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's first and foremost, what is in the best interest of this person I'm acting
so
for?
So again, when a person is establishing a power of attorney, they're executing that document, they want to be very careful of who they choose. They want to make sure it's the right person for the job.
An example would be, just because my oldest son is my oldest son, that's not a reason for that person to be my power of attorney.
It's not the qualification.
It should be the person who is most qualified. And so if that's my youngest daughter, that's who it should be.
Right. Very good. Estate planning attorney Jonathan Muntz, as always, thank you, Jonathan, for being with us, and hopefully that clarifies it for the listeners out there.
And agents on a power of attorney should be 18 years or older.
Oh, got it. Okay. John Dombrowski, The Word on Wealth. Thanks to estate planning attorney Jonathan Muntz. For those of you out there who need help with documents, whether it's powers of attorney, it's a will, it's a trust, those are the things we can help you with here at our firm, Grand Canyon Planning, along with the financial planning aspects as well. Reach out to us. Go to our website at GrandCanyonPlanning.com. We'll be back right after this short break. All right, welcome back to The Word on Wealth. I'm John Dombrowski. Again, we're going to be here for the full hour with you here, and want to switch gears right now. Again, as always, you can reach us if you've got email questions. Send those emails to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. That's DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. If you'd like to call us for your own personal financial consultation, you could do that by reaching out at 480-991-1055 or go to our website and request an appointment right there at GrandCanyonPlanning.com. Also, sign up for our weekly economic update. All right, I want to talk taxes. You know, Arizona, we have always been in the lower percentile when it comes to our state income tax, but there have been some changes that recently occurred during this last election, Prop 208. And for that reason, I'm bringing on one of our regulars here, Darren Sigrist. How you doing, Darren?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Darren, of course, a CPA here in Scottsdale with Sigrist, Cheek, Potter, and Heiser. Darren, Prop 208, I mean, it did pass. And what does that mean for Arizona taxpayers right now?
Well, you would think that it means higher taxes for everybody.
Right.
But that's not quite the case.
Okay.
If you read what the ballot measure did, it did increase substantially the tax rates on those individuals earning more or having Arizona taxable income of greater than $250,000 and a married filing joint couple of $500,000 or more.
Okay, so for married couples, $500,000. Okay.
If you're under that level, Prop 208 didn't do anything. But if it's over that level, all of the dollars over and above those thresholds, you pay an additional 3.5%. So the highest tax rate and individual tax rate in Arizona for the past several years has been 4.5%.
Right.
So now the highest individual rate is actually 8%.
Okay. So for those up to $250,000 for individuals, it'll still be 4.5,
mm-hmm.
right? But then above that, it's going to bump up with an additional
3.5%. 3.5%. And that's taxable income. And a lot of people are a little bit confused on that right now, but it's your Arizona taxable income that's going to be the determining factor.
So after all deductions and everything else.
Correct.
Okay. So in reality, so then after all deductions, if you're in a bracket of 300, or if you have 300,000 of Arizona reportable taxable income, then you're going to pay 8% on that 5,000 additional dollars.
Correct.
Right?
That's correct.
Okay. So, well, I guess, unfortunately.
So it makes a difference. Yeah. Again, it's one of those things. One of the things that has been complained about within this tax increase is businesses that are flow-through businesses, and most small businesses are LLCs, partnerships, S-corporations.
Right.
All of that income flows through to an individual's tax return.
Right.
So it is increasing the amount of tax on those small businesses. So the next question would be, okay, well, maybe I should incorporate, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe I should run my business through a corporation. And that is definitely something you should talk to your tax advisor about. We've already received, you know, a lot of emails complaining, mm-hmm. talking about, okay, what can I do? A lot of the ways those emails start out is a client saying, hey, I'm going to move to, you know, Texas, Florida, one of the no tax states. And again, frankly, I think there's a couple of clients who are probably going to do that.
Wow. Okay.
But again, you have to quantify what it means to you. If it's an additional 3.5% on, you know, on a few thousand dollars, that's one thing. If it's 3.5% on several hundred thousand dollars, mm-hmm. okay, now all of a sudden it's making a difference in your overall tax structure.
Sure.
And so that's the thing to take a look at. The Arizona corporate tax rate is just a tad under 7%. So that would be the highest tax rate. And then you've got to get that money out of that corporation. So
into a personal tax
into
position.
Into your own pocket, because it would still be residing with the business. So those are definitely things to look at and things to think about when you're making a decision on how you're going to have your income taxed. And the federal rate reduction from 35% on corporations down to 21%, made a difference. Now the state tax rates are going in that other direction.
Right.
It's just another variable to add to the mix. But you got to be real careful when jumping to conclusions on that emotional thought process.
Right.
And granted, I don't know that a lot of people really understood what they were doing when they voted yes for Prop 2A, whether it's a good measure or a bad measure. One thing it's supposed to do is put a little bit more money in the education system.
Right. So, and hopefully it goes to the right area of the education system and not just to the, you know, superintendent and the other people around the higher positions in the at Board of Education, as it would be.
Right. As it's indicated, you know, there's various categories of the education system that it's going to. Mm-hmm. And one of those areas is the into the teachers' pockets.
Right.
And hopefully that's the case.
Right.
So, you know, at this point, now it's just a matter of kind of figuring out how it impacts everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people out there who feel like their tax rate just almost doubled. And what I'm finding is a lot of those people are just wrong because they're under the thresholds that we just talked about.
Right. So again, Darren, whenever we go through these elections and whenever we have anything on the ballot that's tax related and we see a change in the tax laws, everybody does obviously get up in arms. And we all understand that because we all feel that we're taxed, you know, more than we should be. The federal tax is a whole nother issue. And let me just ask a quick question. So for those out there who are paying state income tax, is that a deduction off of your federal tax?
It can be.
Right.
One of the federal tax law changes in 2018, the Trump tax law changes, it limits the amount of state and local tax that you're able to deduct on your federal return.
Mm-hmm.
So once you pass a $10,000 in state and local taxes, which would include real estate taxes, the taxes on your vehicles,
right,
and the state income tax that you're paying, once the combination, the sum of those totals greater than $10,000, then it doesn't benefit you anymore.
Yeah. So in this case, if you're in that bracket already where you're earning above $500,000 for a married couple, most likely you've already taken your $10,000 deduction. It's not gonna...
good try on making people feel better.
I just figured I'd ask, Darren.
Hey, good try. I always like the positive approach to it. But those people will be over that $10,000 threshold. So
right.
Yeah, I've tried it all over the last couple of weeks of trying to dry some tears and
wrap your arms around it.
Just give somebody a hug and say, uh-huh. Yeah, well, it's not that bad. But, you know, on some of the people, when you're talking about, yeah, your tax bill just went up $25,000 for the state.
Yeah, yes.
And now it remains to be seen what's going to happen from the federal level. Yeah. And so, you know, those are the people who are crying a little. Their tears are pretty big.
And I know, Darren, we still have this whole process going on with the presidential election. You know, the president certainly has not given up at this point. And we do have the Senate races, which are going to be extremely important as well. And that's in Georgia, where there, you know, two Senate seats potentially could turn. So that's going to be the real challenge where all the money's going to be going. And I think it's going to really be a battle, you know, between the
between
the Democrats and Republicans. And it's going to get pretty ugly out there for this Senate race. And it does mean a lot, especially if, you know, we have a new president. And we also have a situation where the House and the Senate does go Democratic. I mean, everyone's been talking about this. This is probably nothing that the people out there haven't already heard. And my feeling is the same. I think it's best if we do have a split Congress. I believe that, you know, you're not going to get hardly anything done, which is probably the best thing. We always talk about, hey, the legislators are on vacation, and that's usually when that's the best thing. They're on vacation. Nothing, you know, we're not hearing about all
if nothing gets done, that's the best day that you've had as an American.
And, when it comes to...
Say that, but again, they need to get their act together and do something from a crisis relief and stimulus bill and help some of these businesses out. But, you know, the cynic in me on the Georgia Senate runoffs is... Hey, if they're good enough to steal a presidential election and impact things, then quite possibly they're good enough to Senate races are pretty easy to manipulate. But if you look at those races, it looks like we are headed toward a split that the Republicans will control it, just because those states have so many Republicans and Democrats. But if you add up all the votes, it'd be a fairly substantial margin on the Republican side. And again, I think a little bit of gridlock in Washington is probably good for everybody.
And we've had that with the current president, the current administration. We've had the House, which is Democratic, and the Senate, which has been Republican. And we can see deals are not getting done. And, you know, maybe certain things we would say, well, that's good or that's bad. But overall, it's the same scenario. So for those who are Democrats, probably liked the idea that they had a split. They didn't have the House going to the Republican side, because then, of course, the president would have had a majority throughout all. And that could have certainly pushed through his agenda, and the Democrats would not have liked that. And then just the opposite, the Republicans wouldn't like it. If Joe Biden were president. So it's going to be really a contentious, I think, next couple of months, Darren.
It's the way the government's supposed to work is a little bit of give and take. But it'll be interesting.
All right. Darren Sigrist of Sigrist, Cheek, Potter & Heiser. Thanks, as always, Darren. We talked quite a bit there about politics, which I usually don't like to do. But that's okay, because that is part of financial planning as well. We have to plan for the future of what we're expecting tax issues may be.
Be aware.
All right. I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. If you want to get in touch with Darren or any of our guests, go to our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com. All right. Thank you for being with us. I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. We've got one more segment here to take you out from your morning, and hopefully you're enjoying yourself today. It has just been a beautiful week weather-wise. It's funny. I talk about how nice the weather is, and in our office here, of course, you've heard me talk about Paula. And Paula said earlier in the week, she said, gosh, I can't wait until the summer's back. And we're all going, what are you talking about, Paula? Why? Because, of course, we are enjoying this cooler weather. We're sick of the heat. But Paula is a person, she loves the heat. So anyway, we don't like to talk to Paula about the weather, because she's completely opposite of everything that we would want. And we love this weather here. All right. That was fun talking with... our other guests, but I do want to get back to what I was talking about in the first segment. If you're still with us, if you didn't hear what I was talking about in the first segment, let me get back to that. I was talking about the wild ride that we had over the past week, and over the past 2 weeks, actually, since the election. We saw the markets gyrate quite a bit. We saw a tremendous rise, and then we saw a tremendous quick fall And then we saw a rotation out of technology into other sectors of the markets and value, into energy, into we saw even interest rates rising. So a lot of things happening as we saw the changes occur throughout the markets. Now, the economy, as we know, is still moving, right? We're getting good reports from jobs. We're getting good reports from economic reporting from companies, how they're improving on their sales. Profits are up. A lot of things are happening that are positives for the stock market. But yet we're still seeing some uncertainty. And the uncertainty really is falling around the virus. And this is seems to be, every time we hear some news about the virus, okay, well, yes, they come out with a potential vaccine, right? 90% effectiveness in the third trial. And this was with Pfizer. And then we have others out there that are coming out with their vaccines. And we're thinking, okay, all of a sudden that's going to just allow everyone to go back to the way things were back earlier in the year. Well, probably not. And what do we mean by that? Well, we still not only have to manufacture that vaccine, we've got to be able to distribute that vaccine. We've got to be able to make sure that it's effective, make sure that people are going to accept it, people are going to take the vaccine. So there's going to be a lot of things that are still going to have to be worked out. And this is going to be a logistical, you know, nightmare for the government, which is ultimately going to be rolling this out. A lot of companies, Walgreens, CVS, I believe, all talking about how they're going to be offering the vaccine, which is great. So we'll have ways for individuals to get the vaccine. So this is all going to be positive, of course. But it's not yet there, right? So we're not going to just all be able to start getting the vaccine. It's going to take months. It's going to possibly take all the way into mid-2021 and through 2021 before maybe we're fully rolled out with this. And with that being said, that means, again, uncertainty for the markets. And we saw that over the past couple of weeks with the volatility. They announced on Monday that Pfizer came out with this results and things are looking good. Then the vaccine is going to start being distributed, hopefully before the end of the year. Markets made a rapid, sharp increase for not technology, though, because all of a sudden we thought the market was turning because we wouldn't need the technology that got us through the pandemic as much any longer, right? Because people would go back to normal. And we saw Monday and Tuesday, we saw this transition, this shift from technology over into other sectors of the markets. And it happened fast. So for those of you out there maybe who held technology stocks, you all of a sudden saw a tremendous drop in the value of some of those positions. And yet we saw the Dow Jones Industrial Average, I think on Monday prior to the market opening, the announcement of this, the Dow Jones Industrial Futures were up 1,600 or 1,700 points, which we haven't seen any types of swings like that since the initial phases of COVID-19 and then the beginnings of the recovery of the market later mid-year this past year. So a lot of volatility occurred over the past couple of weeks. And then we, of course, throw the election in there. And it scares people, and that's where I wanted to get to with this. And it makes people a little bit nervous about what they're doing with their money, especially if you're close to retirement, right? Because you figure, hey, I've got 3, 4, 5 years before I'm going to retire, and I'm seeing my account value of maybe a $500,000 value in my portfolio go down to $400,000. Or $425,000. I just lost $50,000, $60,000, $75,000, $100,000 of my value. And you're thinking, how am I going to recover from this? How am I going to recoup this? I'm getting ready to retire. Well, this is where it is critical that all of us need to take stock. This is take stock, right? Or take, make a list of what we have in our portfolios. And understand why we have those holdings in our portfolios and understand the risk associated with those particular holdings, right? We may have what we consider to be a diversified portfolio, But we may have a variety of different funds that all indirectly may be similar. In other words, there may be similar holdings in each of the funds that you hold, and you've got overlap in those, right? And that overlap might be, well, we look at a growth stock or growth fund, and we might think, well, gee, okay, there's Apple's in that growth fund, but Apple is also in a technology fund that we have as well. And so we have some overlap, and there may be a variety of different companies that you have in these funds that the fund managers are also, you know, holding. And now all of a sudden, you've maybe taking on more risk than you actually realize. You may say, well, gee, I have X number of percentage of bonds in my portfolio and X number of percentage of equities or stocks, and so I'm okay. Well, there are various levels of risk even in the equity market, right? I think if I were to throw out a couple of the sectors of the market, such as consumer staples or consumer staples or healthcare as an example, right? So consumer staples are the things that we buy because we need them. Now, these are companies that don't necessarily grow like technology stocks grow, but yet they are still stocks, they're equities. And so you will see some fluctuation in those, but a lot of these companies in the consumer staples sectors of the markets may pay dividends. They may be slow-moving stocks, but they're usually pretty good performers over time. Whereas now we look at healthcare or pharmaceutical funds or technology funds or just a true growth fund, and all of a sudden, even though it's still stocks, we would probably put a little higher risk assessment on that type of a fund rather than the consumer staples, right? So these are the things that as we look at our portfolio, as we delve into really what we hold in our portfolios, we have to understand the real risk, that the potential risk that you have in that portfolio. And how do you go about that? Well, you need to really do a deep dive into the portfolio. And I know that's difficult for some people. So that is the job of your financial advisor, right? Your financial professional. And if you're not working with a financial professional, well, that's what we do for our clients each and every day. And I would encourage you, if you're looking to find the right balance for your portfolio, to understand the risk that you have in that portfolio, to understand how you can manage the risk in the portfolio to make sure you're not taking more risk than you should be based on your time horizon, or less risk than you should be based on your time horizon, well, please, let's sit down. Let's talk about that. Please reach out to me. Again, you can call my office at 480-991-1055. And we could schedule that appointment to sit down and talk about what you're doing. See if we can get you on track to that successful retirement. Boy, this hour went fast. And I hope that you did get something out of this. As always, I encourage you to be proactive with your planning and take the necessary steps to protect yourself when markets are volatile like this, and invest wisely and understand what you're invested in. All right, I'm John Dombrowski. Until next time, reminding you, though, don't run out of money before you run out of time.
The Word on Wealth with John Dombrowski, president and co-founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates. Call and schedule your complimentary financial consultation at 480-991-1055. For personalized financial and retirement advice, that's 480-991-1055 or toll-free at 1-866-991-4272. Visit us at GrandCanyonPlanning.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Securities and advisory services offered through Client One Securities, LLC, member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor. Grand Canyon Planning Associates, LLC, and Client One Securities, LLC are not affiliated.